and welcome back to Studio 2 here on WHYY. I'm Cherry Gregg. Spring has finally sprung, and that means it's planting season, but for new gardeners, sometimes it's hard to know where to begin, especially if you're living in a city with limited space and light to grow. And even for those seasoned green thumbs, climate change and new pests can throw some curveballs. So today we're digging into all things horticulture. And with me in our studio is a legend in the Philly horticultural space. Sally McCabe has spent 50 years teaching people how to nurture plants. She is now the Associate Director of Community Education at the Philadelphia Horticultural Society. Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. Sally, welcome back to Studio 2.
It's nice to be back.
And you know, I was joking when you walked in the door, this means I need to get myself and my garden all together. Okay,
walk in the door, it means I need to get myself.
And we all need to get it together.
It's time.
And by the way, to our listeners who are hoping to get it together as well, we have our questions of the day. What's on your mind going into this gardening season, and what questions do you have for our expert, Sally McCabe, who's sitting right here? The number to call is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And for our YouTube and Facebook streamers, you can drop your comments and questions in the chat. And so, Sally, the sun finally out, and we're talking about how to have a greener thumb. So where do we usually start? What are we supposed to be thinking about right now? Is it just soil time, cleaning up the mess?
It's weather time.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy out there.
It is.
It is April, and it's 90 degrees today, and it's going to be freezing on
next
Monday
week?
Night.
I know.
I mean, we're liable to have a frost Monday night, but according to history, we're supposed to have frosts all the way up until maybe May 1.
Mm-hmm. And so this is not the time to like sort of put anything out there, but what are we supposed to be doing? Are we growing?
There's so much we could be doing. No.
Get us, kick us in gear.
All right. New gardeners get the idea that you plant everything on Mother's Day because that's the last guaranteed frost in Philly in the area. And then you stop gardening at Halloween, because that's the first time it freezes in the fall. And so you get 6 months of solid gardening. Mm-hmm. But the rest of us who've been doing this for a while know that we can be gardening all the way back in January, February to build up to April. We could have a full garden going.
Right now. With some of the things that can tolerate the cold.
Because there's so many crops that tolerate the cold. Mm-hmm. So you've got your greens, most of your greens, you've got your root crops. So the cabbage family, all of those things can be in the ground already.
Yeah.
And because they are okay with the day length and they're okay with the weather and they don't care how warm the soil is just yet.
Okay. So I'm a 6 month gardener. You know, I'm getting my soil ready.
That's okay.
We're getting our soil ready. But if you're trying to prepare the foundation for your garden right now, let's say, because Kevin McCrory was in here, he said his backyard looks a little crazy right now. And everybody's finally going outside and they're looking around and stuff has been blowing around and all kinds of stuff.
Everything is
so we got to get it together.
Everything is so beautiful. And some of the stuff is really early and some of the stuff is really late because this weather's, it's insane.
Yeah. And so how do we get our soil prepared?
You hop in a time machine, and you go back to the fall and you put lots of organic matter and lots of compost. If we don't have a time machine, now is the time. It's almost time to start raking up. People go crazy the first warm day and they rake everything, all the leaves out of their beds, and they do all of that. And that's kind of detrimental to the beneficial insects that are living in the ground right now and waiting for spring. So hold off as long as you can stand it before you rake out your beds. But as far as the soil goes, we can be adding compost anytime, any time of the year. So if you got compost now and you're ready to go, add some compost now.
Yeah. And if you're doing raised beds or pots, how do you prepare that soil?
Raised beds, you're still adding compost because what you're trying to do is to feed the critters that are in the soil. In your pots outside, you're trying to feed the critters that are in the soil. In your pots inside, you don't want any critters.
No, you don't want critters in the house.
Yeah.
So you can do the same thing regardless if it's pots, raised beds, or...
Yeah, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to enrich the top layer of soil.
Getting ready. I'm going to bring in a caller because we do have people waiting on the line. We have Sue from Princeton on the line. Sue, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Sally McCabe?
Question is, how do I get rid of voles? They appeared last year, and I didn't think much of them, and they ate my sweet potatoes, and they're just wreaking havoc. They've killed an apple tree. And then the other is, what vegetables can I plant while I'm getting rid of the voles?
Okay. Ooh. Thank you. That's super princess. So first of all, for people who don't know what a vole is, what is it?
It's kind of a rodent, but it's sort of halfway between a mole and a mouse.
And so they call it a vole.
It's a vole. Well, no, I mean, it is its own separate little thing.
Okay.
But they're like moles. They're like mice that live underground. They eat the roots of things.
Oh, my goodness.
What is the best way to get rid of them? I don't have an issue with them because there are so many cats in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So get a cat?
Do I have a good answer? Well, then you have to deal with what cats do in the garden. So it's like everything is a toss-up. But if you've got like a major infestation of voles, then something weird is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an easy answer for that one.
Yeah. Does she need to get an exterminator or something?
I would, I don't even know who would be the best person to call for that.
Okay. Sorry, Sue.
You know what?
From Princeton.
Going to send you to the library.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one.
No, the Horticultural Society has a library, and it's Ask a Gardener.
Yes.
At penhort.org. So send a note and have the volunteers there research it.
I love that. And our question for you, by the way, today, our listeners, is what's on your mind going into gardening season and what questions do you have for our expert? Our number to call is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And by the way,
What can you be planting? Plant leaf crops. If you're worried about them burrowing and eating your root crops, then plant some plant greens.
Yeah. And a question about seeds versus starts. Like, when is now a time to sort of get your seedlings going?
People start seedlings inside because it gives them more control.
Mm-hmm.
Can you plant things from seed outside? Absolutely. Can you be doing that already? You could have been doing that in January, February.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been putting seeds in the ground outside, or at least in containers outside. But people that are starting things indoors, because it gives you more control over the baby plants, and then you have a specific plant to put in a specific place.
Mm-hmm.
When it's warm enough, you can get like a 6-week jump on the season.
Yeah.
So people make their own decisions about what to start indoors, what they're going to buy at a nursery, what they're going to get from their friends, and what they're going to put.
Do you have Sally? Do you have a rule of thumb? Are there certain things that you think do better if you just buy the start versus seeds, especially for people who might be a little clumsy with their gardening?
I would say starting things, your own stuff from seed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's a control issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really choose a lot of different varieties. More varieties are available let's just say tomatoes.
Yeah.
So many more varieties of tomatoes are available from seed for you mm-hmm. to start. If you go to the box stores,
there's
only certain varieties. So, and those aren't even necessarily the best ones for Pennsylvania. They're just the known names.
Yeah, the ones that the...
Yeah,
that the...
So you make your own choices. But as a beginning gardener, the easiest thing to do is just to go and buy.
Yeah. And Jocelyn asks, how do I keep the squirrels away? I've tried the fence,
man,
planting...
You hit me with the voles, yeah. The squirrels, and the cats will be next.
Yeah.
And...
Is there anything you can do? Not really. Yeah.
That's okay, for the radio people, I just made a really ugly face.
Mm-hmm.
For squirrels,
yeah.
Squirrels are squirrels, and squirrels will be squirrels.
Yeah.
If you can,
we don't want to hurt them.
We do.
Oh goodness!
By the end of the summer, we're going to be eating those.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
We fed them so well.
Yeah.
Do I have a good answer for squirrels? No.
No.
Exclusion, wire.
Yeah.
Cages, things like that. Not to keep the squirrels in, but to keep the squirrels out.
To keep the squirrels out. Yeah, I have a netting.
Groundhog issues than squirrel issues. Mm-hmm. And I took old dog crates and I erect the dog crates over my beds.
Yeah.
And to keep the...
So I have a rooftop garden with pots. And what
and
I've
squirrels.
Done is, no, not squirrels, but I have birds.
Uh-huh.
Birds come. And so I put like netting because mm-hmm. the birds were coming and they were picking and different things.
Do you catch the birds in the netting?
No, they didn't yet. I had one of the foil things. I put a fake owl in the bunch of different things.
Action in the garden.
Yeah.
Any kind of action. So a dog, a cat, a windmill. Something moving, windmill.
Yeah.
People have CDs, the shiny things, the foil, the fake snakes, the fake hawks. Anything that you can do that either moves or looks like a danger.
Yeah.
Will slow down, will not. Nothing is going to keep all of the squirrels out the time. But, or the voles or the cats.
Oh, yeah.
Or the groundhogs.
Let's bring in another caller. We have Joseph from Narberth on the line. Joseph, you're on Studio 2. What's your question?
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine is helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer.
Comment for Sally McCabe.
Hi, thanks for having the show. I've got an apple tree that it's maybe 10 years old, 8 years old. It would get great apples, but I've been getting worms. And I know that there's something I can do early in the spring, but I don't know what to spray on it. I don't want to spray chemicals. And I tried neem oil, and that didn't work. It seemed to hurt the tree.
A lot of that is timing rather than the usual standby is a February spray of dormant oil.
Mm.
But the worms that you get, that's when is somebody going to call with an answer I can just definitively give?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Because the spraying that needs to happen has to happen before the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the worms go, is this past year that you started getting the worms?
No, they've gotten worse the last 2 years, really.
Wow, that's a new thing.
No, it's not a new thing. It's just more we get...
Yeah, thank you, Joseph from Harvard.
Mold and mildewy kind of things, fungusy things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to think of when. Again, call, send a note to the library.
Yeah,
That's a tough one. Ask a gardener, all one word, mm-hmm. at penhort.org.
Penhort.org, and that's going to be where folks go. Let me bring in another caller. We have... Bishop's weed. Can you talk about that?
Oh, Lord. Yes, nothing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're bringing Emily from Plymouth Meeting on the line. Emily, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Sally McCabe?
Ah, thanks. If you know what bishop weed is or goot weed.
Gout weed.
My garden is full of it. And I can't get rid of it. I've cut it down. I've put cardboard on top. I've mulched it. And it just raises its ugly head. What can I do?
Well, actually, it's got a very pretty head. It gets lovely leaves. It's in the umbel family. It's like Queen Anne's lace, like parsley. It gets this beautiful umbrella, upside down umbrella of white flowers. And it smells really good. And if you're brave, you can eat it because it's kind of parsley-y in that family. But here's how it has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
It is... it spreads its roots just under the surface, and then 6 inches down, it's insidious. It sets spreads another net.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, unless you're going to take out all of the soil and take out every minuscule drop of the
roots.
It's going to keep going. And what I have done, and because I have it now, and I can clock it, it spreads 6 feet every year, and it's now over into the neighbor's yard, and I feel so responsible because I'm sure that somehow I inadvertently brought it in. But what I'm trying to do is to make sure that I'm incorporating into the landscape other plants that can
fight it. Yeah,
at least for a part of the
year.
So,
what are some examples of what?
Okay,
can fight?
Right now my yard it started out all daffodils and tulips because they're bulbs; they don't care, and they come in at a different time of year than that. It's this agapodium. For those who don't know it, is bishop weed. They come up, and I've got a beautiful landscape of daffodils and tulips, and that goes on for a month. Now, just this week, my lunaria, the money plant, which is a brilliant magenta purple. I have been throwing the seeds because that seems to fight with it.
So there you go.
So you can put that in there. So,
but that takes 2 years to bloom. So get started.
Get started.
Yeah,
now.
The first year it'll put up little rosettes, and then the second year it's, and right now it is in full glory up in Oak Lane. Wow. It is beautiful.
So Emily, you heard that?
So you've got to find other things that will fight it. And there are very few, and they have to be really vigorous.
Yeah.
Because it's fighting the ivy, and everything, you know, everybody knows you can't kill ivy, and yet it is giving the ivy a run for its money.
Yeah. Well, if you have questions today, what's on your mind going into gardening season? What questions do you have for our expert, Sally McCabe? You can give us a call, 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And for our streamers on Facebook or YouTube, you can drop a comment in the chat. LookaBear88 says, why can't I grow all the easy vegetables and fruits like cucumbers, beans, and potatoes? I managed to grow and keep trees alive and native plants. I'm back to the drawing board. What could I be doing wrong?
If you're the soil for trees mm-hmm. and the soil for vegetables is way different. It's way different. Woodies like more of a fungus based mm-hmm. Microflora and fauna in the soil, whereas the vegetables like a more bacterial based. What that means is you need to add more compost
okay.
to your vegetable garden than you would for trees and shrubs.
Okay.
You would put more woody leaf mold, stuff like that, for your trees as a mulch, whereas you would add compost to your vegetable gardens as a mulch.
Quick follow-up for you, Sally McKay, because if you had, let's say you had an infection, a fungal infection on one of your fruit trees or your vines, and maybe your cucumbers didn't do well because they had some kind of fungus or something growing up there. Can you, if you do pots or raised beds, do you need to do something to make sure that bed doesn't have this for the next year?
Most of that stuff comes in airborne
mm-hmm.
Or splashed up.
Okay.
If it's a fungal issue, it's usually, and also because you've got, you need more airflow.
Mm-hmm.
So cucumbers will get a mildew sometimes. Zucchini will get, you know, the squashes will get mildew because they need more of it. They're too crowded and they need more airflow.
And so
growing things taller
yeah.
or on trellises, stuff like that, tends to give you more air so that you've got less.
But does it contaminate the soil at all? Do you need to do something every year?
No, it's a fungus that grows in the soil is generally a good fungus.
Okay.
And you'll see mats of white things growing through like roots.
Yeah.
And that's more of a fungus.
And that's it.
Those are the good guys.
Those are the good guys.
It's the fungus that gets on your leaves that is like there's nothing fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Within the soil, the diversity keeps everything pretty much at bay. Keeps a lot of balance as long as you keep feeding it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a strong proponent of feeding it.
Feeding the soil.
Yeah, research is saying now maybe we feed feeding it compost, not feeding it chemicals.
Yeah.
Research is starting to say maybe we're over composting, but the jury is still out on that.
Jury's still out. Let's bring in another caller. We have Tom from Bucks County on the line. Tom, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Sally McCabe?
Oh, hi, Sally. Thanks for taking my call, by the way. I love your show and listen whenever I can. My question is manure. I've been reading that you should really question the farmer that you get your manure from as to whether or not he has sprayed his hay with any contaminants or pesticides or whatever. Ultimately, the cow digests that, and then it comes out as manure and can be harmful to your soil. Well, you can ask the farmer that, but when you buy it in a store, mm-hmm. bagged already, how can I be sure that that's not contaminated? I read the ingredients, but of course, you know, I don't really know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another
Thanks,
tough
Tom,
one.
From Bucks
Is somebody
County?
Going to
yeah.
call and just brag about their garden?
Yeah.
So I don't have to say gloom and doom.
If you want to brag, no. call in. Go ahead.
The whole issue of manure, it's all you're following the stream. It's like upstream, what did they feed the cattle? What did the cattle poop? What did they medicate the cattle with, or the pigs or the horses? What did they feed them? How did they medicate them? Where did that manure go? What was that manure exposed to? What was the feed exposed to? What were the medicines exposed to? All the way up the line, it is practically impossible to track them, which is why, I would say, which is why it's great to generate your own manure. Mm-hmm. I don't mean poop, people poop. I mean, bunnies
not good. Yeah.
Rabbits is about the cleanest. Mm-hmm. I've relied for years on
guinea
pig.
That seems like a lot of work, though, to be gathering your own poop, though.
Yeah. So manure. Buying it from the store, you're taking your chances.
Sorry.
But if you are concerned about particularly weed killers in the hay that the horse ate, that the horse pooped, that the horse that you bought from the store, then introduce it to your compost or to a compost situation first
to see how it.
And if you're worried, plant some beans in it.
Yeah,
because you'll get really quick results from beans or radishes. Mm-hmm. You'll get like within a week. You'll get and you'll see if the plants are at all.
Yeah,
because if there's weed killer in the manure or there's weed killer in the compost that you're getting from wherever, it's going to show up pretty fast in either beans or radishes.
So you got that, Tom from
Bucks
County?
So you do a test run.
Yeah, do a test run. Tom from Bucks County, beans will help you sort it all out in many ways.
Yes, beans.
In many ways. Yes to beans. By the way, Maureen on YouTube and Facebook says, how does one care for a honeysuckle vine? I have one from last year and it is not blooming.
It depends on what kind it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's the Japanese honeysuckle, that's the more invasive kind that we are going to be smelling any minute now.
Yeah.
Because it is absolutely heavenly and absolutely
deadly.
I
love the smell of it. Yeah.
Gotta love it. Then you just stand back from it. Mm-hmm. If it's not blooming, that's weird.
Okay.
But it's not blooming. It shouldn't be blooming yet.
Okay.
So if it's not blooming yet,
it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's just we're so faked out by this 90 degrees that we think everything should already be summer. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's still spring.
Yeah. And so we do have some times. And so you're saying that right now.
But is this a cultivated variety that you bought special that's not blooming?
Yeah. And if you have any follow-up to that, you can put the comments there and we'll circle back to you, Sally, on there. Because of climate change and we're seeing warmer springs and we're getting this heat wave, we had some record temperatures where we're hitting like 90 degrees. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. What does this do to the soil? What does this do to our plants? Does it throw us a curveball?
Oh, it throws a curveball to everything because the insects are waking up earlier because the soil's warmer. But the plants that they usually, the things that they eat might not necessarily be there yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came home from the flower show. So that was the first week of March.
Yeah.
Came home from the flower show with blooming plants because they had been forced for the show. I showed up in my driveway and bees came from everywhere desperately seeking my blooming flowers because there was not enough outside for them.
Because they're hungry. They've been awakened too early in
and
the
they
season.
Woke up too early. So that's one thing. The other thing is that bugs that usually die off over the winter, so they aren't a problem here, are not dying off over the winter anymore because we don't have the sustained cold. Mm-hmm. Although we have that 120 degree week that always zings us.
Yeah.
So that we're getting insect load here that we never saw before.
Yeah. So this could cause us a problem in the weeks to come. Let's bring in another caller. We have Bill from Reading on the line. Bill, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Sally McCabe? I don't care.
For about 25 years, and I've tried everything. Covering them in the wintertime.
And Bill, we didn't hear you for a second, so could you start over?
Bet you're talking figs, aren't you?
I'm talking figs.
Yeah.
I've been trying to grow a fig tree for about 25 years. I've tried taking them indoors. I've tried covering them outdoors. My wife worked at Longwood Gardens. They cut them down to the ground. I've done everything, and every one of them died. 3 years ago, we bought a house that had been empty for about 2 years. It had a fig tree in it, and nobody had touched it for 2 years, and we had thousands of figs, and I thought, I've got the answer. Just ignore it. So the first year, we had all those figs. Last season, we had nothing. We had a lot of dried twigs, and we had some green, but no, we had leaves, but no figs. What do I do to grow figs around here?
Most of the figs...
Thanks, Bill, from Redding. Yeah.
Figs that people are used to growing here, brown turkeys, because mm-hmm. they're the best. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they're iffy in a Zone 6, Zone 7 situation. Then that's us. Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, I had a brown turkey lived up against the house on the south side of the house. And it was, we were picking from the second story window. We would climb out the window to pick the figs. The next year, died to the ground. And it took 8 years to get back up. Last wow. year, I had figs on it again. This year, I'm still watching it. I'm not sure it's still alive. So my suggestion, I got myself a Chicago Hardy. The figs are smaller. They're not as mouth-wateringly wonderful, but mm-hmm. there's three times as many of them, and they're lots more reliable. And they grow on, the figs will grow on new wood.
So, and what's that again? Say it one more time.
Chicago Hardy.
Chicago Hardy. There so you are, heard that,
yeah.
Bill,
so it
Redding.
Was it was one of those ones that was developed in Chicago, where it's mm-hmm. a lot colder than us. Mm-hmm. So finding different varieties of figs that you can not have to fuss with.
Yeah. So Chicago Hardy for you, Bill from Redding. Thank you so much for that question. We have a YouTuber who is asking, I am allergic to mosquitoes and most insects, but I am also allergic to bug spray. That's a double allergy right there. I use lemongrass oil. How do I grow lemongrass so I can use, you put it in their yard? I grow lemongrass on
lemongrass.
My roof.
Yeah. You just get babies and plant them.
Yeah.
The problem is that it doesn't survive the winter here.
Mm-hmm. So you have to
so
do it
every
year.
Either bring it in or replant it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I grow lemongrass on my rooftop. I put it in a pot and it grows and it keeps the mosquitoes from...
So how do you harvest it?
What do you mean?
You just cut it and...
I cut it, yeah.
I cut it and use it?
I cut it
so
and
I
use
don't
it.
Know. I don't know what the process is for making lemongrass oil,
mm-hmm.
but what there's enough oil in the plant. I when I go outside, I grab a handful of mint or a handful of basil, and I just
rub it on your skin.
On my skin, and it lasts 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you got to do it again. So make sure you grow lots of mint.
Yeah. And let's bring another caller in. We have Celine from Wynwood on the line. Celine, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Sally McCabe?
Hi. Yeah, I've got three quick things. Regarding the discussion before, if I was late to the game, start seeds indoors, like I haven't done it yet, is it okay to plant the seeds outside now, or should I just forget that and go
it
with
depends,
stronger plants
it
like
depends
tomatoes
on what,
and cucumbers?
It depends on what it is. If you're talking tomatoes, or you're talking...
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking tomatoes. Okay.
Well, tomatoes, cucumbers, like I know there's certain
oh,
things
cucumbers are so
now,
much
like
happier in the ground, growing out of seed, from seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what's your second question? And we're getting close to the end of the show, so what's your second question?
So it's not too late to start seed.
No, it's never too late.
Oh, great. So there's been a lot of burn around, like in rhododendrons and akuba and things like that, mountain skip laurels. And should I cut all those burn leaves off, or should I do anything about them? I mean, they look unsightly, but I don't know if it's a good idea to cut them off.
It depends on how much unsightly you can stand. yeah, I mean, they look scorched. They got tender. They got cold, they froze, the sun hit them. For any of a number of different reasons, they look bad. If you're worried about the health of the plant, it's not mm-hmm. Unless everything is scorched, the whole thing is scorched, then don't worry about it. Unless
like the
you can't
external leaves.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it really bothers you, cut them off. But just know that in cutting them off, you could be potentially cutting off what hasn't bloomed yet.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Celine from Wynwood. Celine got a couple questions in for
you,
Sally.
She did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got the dead stuff. What was the other? Oh, we answered.
Yeah, and Ed says, I have a Granny Smith apple tree. It does produce apples, but many are either deformed or have black punctures on the skin of the apples. What can be causing this, and what can I do to prevent this from happening? I live in central New Jersey.
Okay. If you just have the one tree and mm-hmm. you're trying to... I would set myself up with a spring spray schedule with dormant oil because the black spots could be a fungus and a dormant oil with a you know what? I am not going to give you a specific answer for that because I'm not qualified to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But because Granny Smith is something that really isn't happy
mm-hmm.
here. And So
give them the email to ask.
Yeah, a gardener. Okay. All right. askagardener@penhort.org.
And so as we get ready to wrap up this segment, I just, you know, what should people be thinking about? I mean, we have, as far as timing, we have just a few more weeks before Mother's Day mm-hmm. where everything should be kind of put in the ground. Are there any major tips? If you were saying three things that people should do to get prepared, what should they be doing?
Three things. Learn your timing. Mm-hmm. You've got cool season crops that can still go in. You've got warm season crops that should wait until the soil is warm enough, which means it doesn't get below 55 at night.
Okay.
We should visit other gardeners to get inspired and to ask them questions. When you see something that you like, find out more about it.
Yeah.
And watch for workshops because there is so much going on in the Philadelphia area. I mean, PHS has a workshop coming up on the 13th on managing rainwater in your garden. And you can find that on our website, phsonline.org. That's so simple.
Yeah. And so we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Sally McCabe, thank you so much for being here. Sally McCabe has spent 50 years teaching people how to nurture plants. She is now the Associate Director of Community Education at the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. I appreciate you being here, Sally.
It's such a pleasure.
And whenever I see you, I know it's time to get myself together. I'm getting it together. And by the way, it is now time to reveal our Studio 2 DJ of the Day song selection. I'll hit it.
Tip-toe. With me.
All right. Well, that is Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim from 1968. The song was originally written in 1929, but became a novelty hit when Tiny Tim sang it on the 60s and 70s sketch comedy show Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. So there you go. A little flashback there. I know. So thank you so much, Sally McCabe. Also, thank you to our producers, Debbie Builder and Hazel Mae Bryan. Mike Schiffler is our visual producer. Al Banks and Tina Calique engineered today's show. Our executive producer and DJ of the day picker is Kevin McCory. Joan Isabella is WHYY's audio general manager from Studio 2 here at WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Cherry Gregg. Thank you so much for joining us today.